Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
But surely he won't. Surely someone will just sit him down and say, look, Pat, we've been through this. We've got the best 11 in the world.
I think you'll overthink it.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello, everybody. My name's James. Welcome to, genuinely, I mean it, the final Planet FPL Clash of the Correspondents of the 2022-23 season. And we are previewing the first ever Manchester FA Cup final. Let me introduce you to our Manchester City correspondent, Johnny Pringle. How are you, Johnny?
Good, thanks, James. Looking forward to this one.
Good man. And our Manchester United correspondent, Gary Robinson. How are you, Gary?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm all right, mate. You're not looking forward to this one?
Probably not as much as Johnny is now.
Okay, fine. Johnny, we must start with you. Congratulations on the behalf of everybody at Tottenham Hotspur for winning the Premier League title. How are you feeling about that, mate?
Yeah, really good. Obviously, winning it three in a row for the first time. First other team to do it in the Premier League. So, the second team to do it in the Premier League.
Third.
I mean, a third.
Well, you did it twice, didn't we? So...
They're already at each other.
Here we go. That was good. It was good. Obviously, we talked about it just after I came on after the Arsenal game, how it looked like we were putting that run together. And then, yeah, just managed to keep it going. And it was quite easy in the end, wasn't it?
Yeah, I was going to say, that must have been a surprise, no?
Yeah, I think, well, Arsenal just... After we beat Everton away, we went to Everton thinking this is a huge game. We have to win this because we need some leeway going into that final week of Brentford and Brighton. But we didn't think we would literally not have to win against Brentford or Brighton. So to not have to win another game after that was nice. And yeah, we could enjoy it against Chelsea.
When Guardiola was wagging his two fingers for two more wins for the first time since he was wagging two fingers claiming for a handball at Anfield, you kind of believed that you'd have won the league before you kicked a ball again.
No, that's what I mean. As in, it felt like a huge win because it felt like it was just Chelsea and then go and do one more, either Brighton or Brentford. But yeah, it was a nice surprise. When Arsenal got beat by Forest, I was a little bit in the camp of I would rather win it and confirm it against Chelsea to have a bit of a... Oh, we've got to basically just win it instead of another team losing it. It always seems to happen. We either win it on the last day or the other team loses it early. But no, when Arsenal actually conceded, I was like, nah, go on, just get it done today. We'll have a party tomorrow.
Yeah, I think so. Because I think, listen, you obviously picked weakened teams, but we knew those two last away games were going to be really tricky because they're decent sides. Brentford already beat you at your place this year. And Brighton, I think, is well documented this year. I think I was relieved that it was done.
Yeah, I think City is so good at that part of the season. We're so clutch. I would like to think we've got the job done. Winning both. Obviously, we did have a little bit of leeway, but I think we could afford to have won one and drawn one. But yeah, you're right. But it was nice just to get it boxed up.
Get one team league now, Johnny.
No, you saw that one team league in the Bundesliga on Saturday. That's a one team league. That again, that's something that comes out every year from the journalists. As soon as City string a few wins together, oh, no one can compete with City. They turn it into a one team league. Why had everyone written us off 3 months before, man?
Yeah,
like we do every year. It's just as long. Same thing happens every year. It's not, and the guy who's making it a one team league is Guardiola. And as soon as he goes. As soon as he goes, we'll just fall into the rest of the pack. We'll win one, lose one, maybe have a couple of seasons off. But yeah, he's the guy that's he's the reason why we're so dominant at the moment.
Yeah, from across the city, does it feel like that at the moment? Obviously, people have labelled it yourselves in the past about Carrie's disappeared, labelling yourself as a one team, as the leader of the pack in a one team league when you were dominant and won three leagues in a row. Does it feel like that at the moment?
Well, not at the minute, no, because I think what City are now 5 in the last 6, which I think that equals the best streak United ever did between 97 and whenever that was, or whatever 6 years past that is, I think. So I think the worry is that if, like Johnny says, if Guardiola stays another 3 years with Haaland up front, that, you know, if they win next season, they'll be the first team in the history of English football to win 4 in a row. And then, you know, and then it'll be 6 in 7. And then at that point, you are becoming, you know, and it's not just the leagues, is it? They've won quite a lot of the domestic trophies in the last few years. If they tag a Champions League on this week, not next week, you know, you are getting to the point where it becomes a one-team league. But I don't think we're quite there yet. But I think the worry is, who realistically challenges them next season? You know, Liverpool have probably... They've peaked, haven't they? They'll be in a rebuilding stage. You know, Arsenal have had unbelievable overperformance this season, but they also had an unbelievable opportunity and they couldn't get the job done. Who realistically challenges City next season?
And you say that, but I'm just thinking back to your own sort of, actually your own treble year, where Arsenal obviously pushed you very close and had won the title the year before. The 2 years after that, you won the league at a canter. One of those 2 years, you won it around about April the 10th or something ridiculous. And then, to be fair, Arsenal came back the following year again in 2001-02, didn't they? So, I mean, I wouldn't rule that out. I'd still see Liverpool, I'm not convinced. They're obviously not right at the moment, but they feel as likely as anybody to challenge City next year, I think, because they can put that run together.
Yeah, I think they're as likely to challenge, but I just can't, I think they need too much... They've got too much to do, haven't they? They're not really replaced Mane's goals yet. Diaz and Gakpo look like they might do. The midfield's going to need some serious rebuilding. The defence needs, you know, Van Dijk's finished. Alexander-Arnold's playing in this midfield-ish role. Look, Liverpool could do it, but you'd be surprised if Liverpool challenged City next season, wouldn't you?
We'd be surprised if anybody overthrew City next year at the moment. Football's a long time, and Johnny's mentioned it. Like, the team that lost at White Lane in February, I was like, this is as average as I've ever seen City. It's 3 months ago.
Yeah.
It feels like a lifetime ago now. Johnny, who would you see as main challengers next year as it stands?
I really don't know. I think you're right, James, and Neville said the same thing, didn't he? And that you'd argue Liverpool because they're one of the only teams that have proven to go the distance with City across multiple seasons. You'd probably put Arsenal up there again. I think there's caveats for every team. I don't think there's a standout team to be up there and challenge us. I think there's potential there with each of the big teams. If they do fix things up a bit, if Chelsea trim the squad, there's potential there. United get a couple of signings right, there's potential there. But I don't think there's a team at the moment you can stand out and you can say they're the ones that are going to challenge City.
No, agreed. You're a little over a week, Johnny, from what essentially feels like completing football. Is that how this feels if you win the next 2 games?
Yeah. It does sort of feel like that. I think, obviously, United have done it. It's the holy grail of football, isn't it? I think it sort of feels like you've almost come full circle, especially from the rivalry perspective. So obviously, seeing United do the treble while we were in Division Two. I think to sort of do the treble would almost like see the City's journey almost completed. I've joked around with my wife Emily saying that, well, if City do the treble, then we don't need to go anymore. And we can have a kid after that. But
she might not want one, mate.
Pardon?
She might not want one. No. She might want to keep going to City.
Maybe I was going to say, maybe we'll want to keep going to City. But no, I'm sure we'd keep going after. But yeah, it does sort of feel like that. It's haven't quite sort of felt the, it hasn't quite hit me yet. Maybe a week in Greece has done that to me, but I'm sure when I'm at Wembley on Saturday, it'll hit me, the enormity of it and what we could potentially achieve.
Is it in a weird way, the fact the cup finals against Manchester United, rather than say you're playing Brighton this weekend, which might have been an equally as difficult a game, but the fact you're playing United means that this kind of Champions League obsession isn't so much of an obsession right now, because the focus genuinely is on beating the rivals in a cup final.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I mean, there's a huge question that's been going around City fans for about a month, which is which, if you could choose one of the games to win, the other game to lose, which one would you choose? I think it's the hardest question I've ever been asked in my life.
Well, go on then. Which one is it?
I genuinely could not tell you. My answer changes every single day.
Gary, why are you shaking your head?
Because you should want to win the Champions League. Yeah
but he still hates your club, mate.
Yeah, I know, but... Yeah.
And you'd be denying him the treble, then you're the only other team that's done it, mate.
Yeah, basically, what are you going to do? Win the FA Cup final and lose to Inter Milan?
No, but then essentially, his team's losing. His biggest rival is you. And he's losing. He's losing the first ever FA Cup final to you. That sticks, right?
I think it'd stick more if you lost the Champions League final to Inter Milan.
I kind of agree with that, but I also get it, Johnny. I'm thinking, Jesus, what position if we had Arsenal in the cup final? Like,
this is the bit. There's arguments on both sides. I think like it's like a head v heart situation. The head says you need to win the Champions League.
Yeah.
The heart says you'll likely never play United in an FA Cup final again. Ask me on Saturday when there's 30,000 United fans on the other end of the stadium, and I'd probably say I want to win today. Ask me a week later when I can
see all those things that come with it, Gary. It's the walking out. Can I get Wembley way quick enough before they catch me up and stuff? It's awful, mate. Awful. You don't want to lose that game.
Not as awful as being if you lose the Champions League final to Inter Milan 2 years after bottling it against Chelsea. You wouldn't live that down.
All right, let me ask you a different question then, Johnny, because I think it's perfectly reasonable to be a little bit split on that. Which game do you think is the harder game for City?
I think it's United for the circumstances of it. I think just because there's so much red on it for United, I think they are desperate to stop us doing it. The fans, the players will know what it means. They will do anything in that game to stop us winning it. And then I think if you were to beat United, the momentum we'd have going into the final, I think you'd hope would get us over the line. I'd say that quite similar games in terms of difficulty on paper, but like I say, I just think the fact it's United in the cup final adds that extra layer that will just make it harder.
Yeah, I think they're probably the hardest domestic opponent you could have had because of the rivalry and stuff. And actually, if we look at the head-to-head, even since Guardiola took over, I think you've only won one more game against them than they've won against you, I think, in all competitions, I want to say, Johnny, which feels remarkable to believe. But actually, you've done, particularly under Solskjaer, actually, Gary, you had a good record against them for a while, didn't you?
Yeah, we had quite a template to play against them, really. You know, a lot of counter-attacking and... Rashford and Martial have had some good games against City, I think, in the past. But, you know, quite how relevant that is. I mean, the other thing is when we've won, it's tended to be, you know, 2-1s and 1-0s on the counter-attack. And when we've not beat, it's been
bad.
4s, 5s and 6s. So, I think a lot of the wins have been quite smash and grabby, haven't they? So,
what's as a United fan, Gary? What's your main motivation for Saturday? Is it winning the trophy, or is it stopping them from this treble?
Well, I mean, it's quite a difficult one to answer because it becomes the same thing anyway. But I think probably the you know, defending the treble, really. I think if we had not, we've already won a trophy this season. We finished third, which is, you know, a decent season, especially by recent standards. So, yeah, I think it is stopping that treble, because we're the only team to have done it. You know, it's one of the few things that only one team has done. In fact, it might be the only significant thing that only one team's done. So to lose that, you know, we've already lost the tag of only three in a row in the Premier League era. You know, so yeah, I think, you know, defending that treble would be nice. But I mean, the thing is, the way Liverpool came close to doing it last season. Look, even if City don't do it this season, they're eventually going to do it. As long as Guardiola stays, and as long as Haaland stays, you know, law of averages tells you they're going to have an unbelievable season. But, you know, at some point. So even if they don't do it this season, it's just rolls over to next season. So might be just best to get it over and done with.
If I said then, fast forward 10 days, and City have beat you,
yeah,
but they've lost the Champions League final.
Yeah.
Is that all right?
Well, it's not. We're certainly not at the end of the world. I think, like I say, we hadn't won the League Cup final earlier and had a decent season in the league, then I think the FA Cup win would be, we need to win the FA Cup final. But, yeah, I don't know, but honestly, yeah, if City didn't do the treble, I wouldn't really care which way around it happened.
That's interesting.
I'll be honest, yeah. You should be, any club should be proud of the things it's done. And it's not, you know, I'm sure if you said to an Arsenal fan, you know, they're the only Premier League team to have gone unbeaten, aren't they, in the Premier League era, you know, they wouldn't, if you said to them next season, City will go invincible or they'll win, or Arsenal can win the Champions League, the FA Cup and League Cup, I think people probably would be a bit like, oh, I don't want to lose that invincible season.
To be fair, they've never won the Champions League, so it's probably a different answer. But
I get what I'm saying. Everton fans were probably protective of Dixie Dean's record and all things like that.
Definitely going to go.
Well, yeah, probably. But it's, you know, I don't think it's that bad a thing or that petty thing to say, oh, I don't want City to do the treble. I think that's just, you know, that's what football's about, isn't it?
To throw that in a different scenario then, would you be as bothered if it was, say, Chelsea?
I'm not, whoever, if and when the treble goes, obviously it might be probably next week, but whoever ruined it, it would ruin it. It wouldn't matter. It doesn't make much more difference than it's.
What I'm saying is, he's not so much that because of it's the Manchester rivalry
I'm not. If it's about the treble going, you know, City doing it's not. You know, if Liverpool had done it last season, that'd have been horrific. You know, if the Mourinho Chelsea had managed, I mean, they got pretty close, didn't they? They won a league and FA Cup a few times, didn't they? And went deep in the Champions League. So, yeah, I'm not really bothered if City do it. I mean, you know. Someone will do it eventually, won't they? I think, and especially like say with Guardiola there.
How big, from your perspective, though, Gary, has the rivalry with City grown over the last 15 years, or has it not? Because I think a lot's been made about the historical rivalry with Liverpool; they're the biggest rivals, etc. Yeah. Despite City being the neighbours, but the way they've grown from, they're no longer the noisy neighbour, are they? They're something a lot bigger. No.
Yeah.
Has the rivalry grown for United fans over this period?
Well, I think it's grown, but I don't know. It feels a bit of a weird one because there's probably only been, 2 years where we've both been a good team? That sort of Ferguson's last two seasons was that only time when we were, obviously, the derby and the neighbour rivalry, but in actual sort of a level, you know, those two seasons, we were pretty much level pegging, weren't we? I know the Ferguson's last season we won quite comfortably, but since Ferguson left, we've never really been close. I know we finished second a few times to them, but it's been by, you know, double figure points figure. We've never really challenged them. So I think with any rivalry, it needs that competitiveness as well. And we haven't been competitive with City since Ferguson left. So I think that probably takes the sting out of it. And I mean, Johnny might say, but I'm sure if you ask a lot of City fans who, you know, they're probably more worried about the Liverpool rivalry of the last 5 years because they've dragged them to, you know, last day title challenges are, well, twice and, you know, nicked a title off and things like that. So, you know, if United can get themselves back on their level, then I think the rivalry might become something. But it's hard to see that happening in the short term.
Johnny, is that fair? I mean, does it mean as much to you to beat, and I know Saturday, I can already tell, means a lot, but does it mean as much to beat United now as it did pre that first title and pre the new owners?
Yeah, it's obviously always been. I think the point where the rivalry was at its fiercest was the period that Gary alludes to, when the sort of crossover was happening and when they could see us coming and we were obviously on the up. And I think, like Gary says, there was obviously a couple of proper title races there. I think, ironically, the result that actually, I think, turned the tide, that a lot of the City fans consider was the big result, was the semi-final at Wembley in the FA Cup, when we won 1-0, when, to a man, everyone on our minibus, apart from my granddad, didn't think we would win that day. And we did. And that sort of given us the belief. And like Gaz says, there hasn't really been a title race since. There was one in 17-18 with Guardiola and Mourinho, but it sort of ended about Christmas time. So it would be
Solskjaer had one where we were top in January or something, but we fell away as soon as we got there, didn't we?
Yeah, it would be. Yeah. It'd be nasty if we had a proper close title race for United again. I don't miss that 11-12 season, not going to lie.
You bet you missed the end of it. You'd live that every day, though.
Oh, yeah. But, God, the thought of Aguero's got that goal makes you sick.
Gary, are you happy with United season?
Yeah, I mean, I think when you look at how last season ended, you know, scrambling around to finish sixth and Ralf Rangnick in charge, and, you know, you just thought, there's just no way. There's no way that Ten Hag. Well, I didn't know that much about Ten Hag, but you thought there's no way Ten Hag can turn us into a, you know, a proper team this quickly. But, you know, to finish third, win one cup, another cup final. Yeah, I mean, I think the thing that, apart from if City win the treble, but I think the biggest regret of this season will be that we probably should have won that Europa League. I mean, you look at that Sevilla team. I know that they win it all the time, but, you know, we were 2-0 up against them and absolutely pasting them. And to be 2-0 up and coasting to lose 5-2 on aggregate. But, you know, these things happen, I guess. But, yeah, I think so. But I can't see us progressing much further next season, I don't think. I can't see us putting a title bid in. But I mean, this season's been good, but it's like, what's next? I think the worry is that next season we can only really do the same.
Yeah, it's very easy to fall back out of it, though, isn't it? One way or the other, isn't it?
Yeah, and you look at the top four last season. I mean, if you'd said to anyone at the end of last season, the way
three changes.
Yeah, well, if you'd said to a Liverpool fan, a Spurs fan, and a Chelsea fan, maybe Chelsea because of the change of ownership, but I mean, obviously, you know better than anyone, the way you were playing under Conte and the way Liverpool finished last season, obviously lost a couple of lost a cup final and things like that. But you'd have thought you'd have been a madman thinking either of them would have dropped out the top four, and you know they've not really got close, have they? So it could easily happen to United next season. So,
Chelsea got close to the bottom four, in fairness, on occasions.
Yeah,
we're only a threat to ourselves anyway. In any case, the only fours we've been seen is about 12 minutes at St James's Park and the 90th minute at Anfield. Yeah, no, I get it. Does that leave kind of a flat feeling going forward? I mean, I was asked earlier today, like what do United need to become title challengers? And I found that quite difficult to answer because I said you could buy a great goalkeeper, buy a great centre forward, great midfield player, and I think you're probably still short.
Yeah, I mean, the only way we're title contenders next season if Guardiola retires this summer, isn't it? Or leaves Man City next season, you know. But otherwise, let's say, for example, we buy Raya, Rice, Kane, for example. Next, when it comes to August, if you say to Johnny, will that Man United team win the Premier League? all the Man City fans are saying, nah, they'll run us closer, but we wouldn't take the Premier League offer, would we, with those three signings?
So no, I agree.
Yeah.
And they probably almost would be ideal signings, those particular players.
Well, it's just not three obvious Premier League proven signings that, you know, and there's other people out there, but, you know, those three wouldn't turn us into title contenders, would they? So I don't know who would. So yeah, I think unless Guardiola packs it in.
Johnny, is there any chance that this week goes really well and he goes suddenly, thank you very much?
I don't think so. He got asked it in an interview with Sky. He's obviously going to say, no, I won't. He sort of hesitated a little bit. But I think I've just always got the impression that Pep will just honour his contract. So I don't think he will. I think he'd want to stay.
How long's he got left?
At least a year after this season, maybe even two.
So he's not likely to manage at Morecambe then?
No. And then I think even if he was to stay, you could maybe argue that then he'll just do a decade with us, do 10 years. And then
he always comes across that he's happy and enjoys it. When he speaks back about the time at Barcelona, he's like, it wasn't fun anymore. Like the pressure on the club was so intense and that he doesn't, I think he feels it a bit from the media here, but he doesn't feel the pressure internally from the football club. I guess obviously see what he does and just let him get on with things, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's basically the perfect environment for him to thrive, with a board above him and around him that just 100% back him. And obviously very healthy transfer budget every season. Obviously, for unwavering support of the fans as well. So yeah, everything's perfect for him. I think sounds like he really does enjoy it here. I think he gets a lot more, like you say, peace from sort of fans and media than they did in Spain. They are obviously brutal in Spain, particularly with respect to Real Madrid and Barcelona, aren't they?
Yeah. Is he now worthy of being considered one of the greatest managers ever in this country?
Yeah, I think so. I think even before the season, regardless of what he achieves at the end of this season, I think he has proven to be one of the greatest managers of all time just because of his league record, the consistency and the constant evolution of tactics that he's able to come up with, how he's changed football. He's obviously so humbly, he claims that he's just reusing all these tactics. But even today, I'm looking at, you know, when people start playing Footy Manager on Twitter, looking at like what the lineups will be next year, people are lining up with that little 3-2 formation just because that's what City have been playing in the last 14 games. And that's something Pep's, well, I won't say come up with, he's obviously copied it from someone else, he'll claim. But I think if we do the treble, I think it will cement him right up there.
For the benefit of the audio listeners, Gary was very much nodding in agreement. Many will think you've had the greatest in Sir Alex Ferguson. So Guardiola's worthy of being in that conversation?
Oh, comfortably. Not even a question, is it? I mean, I think you'd probably already say Guardiola's surpassed Ferguson in terms of his tactical ability and imprint on a team. But, you know, obviously Ferguson's always going to have that longevity in him, and Ferguson winning a European trophy with Aberdeen and things like that, you know, that's always, you know, and his man management and all that kind of thing. So, you know, and the game's different. I mean, those two sort of crossed over, didn't they, towards the end of Ferguson's time. So, you know, Pete Ferguson versus Pete Guardiola might have been good, but I think we were just past Ferguson's peak by the time Guardiola.
Which I'm not going to go through the combined 11s and all that jazz they did on Monday Night Football, but do you think your United team would have beat this City?
Well, I mean, it's difficult, isn't it? Because you're talking 20 odd years down the road, and tactics are different and fitness and blah, blah, blah. I think they'd come closer than anyone in this Premier League era has done. Because, you know, that United team could do a bit of everything, and it had a bit of everything. It had good substitutes. But it's difficult. I mean, it's, you know, what would a 4-4-2 do in this era of Premier League football? It'd probably get murdered, wouldn't it? So I don't know. I mean, I think it would have come very close, wouldn't it? And I think if you, you know, that thing about the best 11, I think if you were picking an 11, you'd probably just have more City players in. But I think there's some of that United team would
get in. I disagree with that. The comment I made actually is that I thought it would have more United players actually. But I think if the two teams played each other, because of the evolution and the way the game's changed, that City would win. Like if you play each other 38 times, City would win more often than not. I'd be fairly convinced about that. But I think maybe it'll be easier when the likes of De Bruyne and others have stopped playing, then you can have more of a comparison. Like you look at your midfield four and you think, am I leaving any of them out, for example?
Well,
I can't leave De Bruyne out. I can't leave David Silva out. Like he's ridiculous.
Precisely. I mean, that's why it's difficult because, you know, that 99 midfield is probably still the best complete midfield, you know, in English, you know, since I've been watching. But like you say, you know, if you were picking a team with both of them, what would you do with Beckham? And because Beckham would probably play in a De Bruyne type role if he was playing in modern football, wouldn't he? He wouldn't play wide right like he did. He'd play in that sort of...
He'd play right back, mate. He'd be like Trent, wouldn't he?
He'd be in some sort of hype, you know. Right, you know, Keane was probably our second best player that season behind Beckham in the treble season. But, you know, where does Keane play? You know, would Keane play with Rodri? He would, you know, that even that's gone out of fashion. You know, that was all the...
Pep would play 2-7-1 and he'd play like a hexagon in midfield.
I think the one player in that 99 team who would definitely be right up Guardiola Street would be Dennis Irwin, though. You know, sort of that modern, you know, right-footed left-back, had a goal in him. But, yeah.
I mean, it's worth saying as well, Johnny, is this the best City? Is this better than the Centurions team?
It's been another topic of conversation about which... I think obviously Pep era City is the best version of City we've ever seen, but each sort of season's team is very different. I think the 17-18 team, the Centurions team, was the most exciting sort of attacking wise. Felt like we could blitz anyone. 18-19 was a bit more of a refined version of that, but we still had a soft underbelly. Teams were able to come and beat us, obviously, as you did, James, and Liverpool knocked out the Champions League. The 2021 season in lockdown was very, very solid. But again, maybe wasn't as exciting as the previous teams. I think last year was a very good team. It was very strong, but I don't know. I think this team has its weaknesses. I think one thing that's been a massive strength to us this year has just been our home form. I think our ability to blitz teams at the Etihad is the best I've ever seen. I would back us to beat absolutely anyone at the Etihad at the moment. If both these games next week were at the Etihad, I'd be out celebrating already because we've been unbelievable there this year.
Gary's agreeing, by the way.
I think we all watched
the Real Madrid games, so we know.
I think on the other hand, I think I saw a stat yesterday that it's actually gone on the radar a little bit, but we hadn't beaten any of the top nine teams away from home.
Except one. Arsenal.
Yeah.
Ironically.
And then even in the Champions League, obviously all the away ties, we've drawn 1-1. So it's not like we've been just marching all over England and Europe, just blitzing everyone. It has only been at the Etihad, really.
Is there something in that? Because you are right. I've seen that stat as well. And me and Gary have spoken regularly this season about United's away form in these games. And actually, yours hasn't been clever either. I guess the fact that you finish first and no one talks about this sort of thing, right? But is there a reason for that, you think?
I think there's mitigating circumstances as well. Obviously, if there was the offside rule at Old Trafford, we'd have won there. What other games were there in that top nine? I think, obviously, Brighton was dead rubber at the end of the season.
As was Brentford.
So, yeah, maybe, obviously, it's pushing it a bit. And, obviously, then in the Champions League, at Real Madrid, a draw is considered a good result. A draw at Bayern Munich was, obviously, only because we'd won 3-0. what's it, in the first leg. So, like I say, maybe there are mitigating circumstances. But no, I think there is something in it, but maybe just because we are so strong at the Etihad, it makes the away form look sort of like comparatively weak.
Are there any parts of the game specifically versus United that you're concerned about? Is there a specific matchup and a part of the pitch, be it Rashford out wide or Fernandes centrally, or the way they defended against you in January? Is there something specific that's a concern to you?
The referee?
Why?
Well, no, I'm only joking.
Who is it? Do we know?
Pardon?
Who is the ref? Do we know?
Oh, I know it is for the I know it is for the Champions League final. I don't know who it is for the. Oh, I know what, actually. I think I saw it might have been Paul Tierney, which would be really annoying.
Why?
Well, I just don't like Paul Tierney.
Honestly,
most,
all this...
Most all referees this money, aren't liked.
All this money to spend, historic treble, Pep Guardiola, Haaland on 800 grand a week, and you're worried about referees?
They can't pay for refs.
Oh, the hell.
You might can pay for certain things undercover, but not referees, hell. Gary. Yeah,
well, I know, but don't worry about it. What are you worried about referees for?
You can try. It was Paul. I think Paul Tierney was the one who... what's it, didn't give the goal at Old Trafford, or gave the goal at Old Trafford?
Well, no, that was the laws of the game at the time. What do you want him to do?
No, to be fair, that's a difficult one for the referee. They should have told him on that goal. They should have told him, go to the monitor. Just go and look at it again. Because he wouldn't have had the position to see the original offside anyway,
can't
right?
Do so, that. That's the thing. Yeah, you can't do that for offsides, can you? But we'd be here all night if we were to talk about that again. But no, in terms of matchups on the day, I think Fernandes and Rashford have the ability to obviously change a game in moments. It's more sort of like going the other way. I think, like, obviously Casemiro is so good. I think he can sort of like shut out a team. I think, like you say, it is more like going the other way. If De Gea has a worldie, if Casemiro has a worldie, that's how United have sort of seemed to beat us in the past. Just caught, like Gary said before, just caught us on the break. Then we just can't break them down. And if they do, if Wan-Bissaka sort of like locks down his side, if De Gea has a worldie, if Casemiro locks up the midfield and United just say go 1-0 up, all of a sudden it does become a real struggle of a game.
Grealish, Wan-Bissaka should be a great battle, actually, come to think of it. Is Jack still partying? Is he going to be available this Saturday, Johnny?
Yeah, I think he is. Pep was obviously on the wind-up, wasn't he, saying that a lot of players have niggles and stuff when they were basically just hungover. And then they're miraculously all back in trading this week.
Of course they were.
No, you will. I think it'll be different. I think.
Are you surprised that they went out and partied? I know you have every right to go and celebrate it, but I think maybe it was a bit different. It was a bit tighter, but I'd imagine 99. I bet, would you all have done that then, Gary, in 99?
Yeah, I mean, Roy Keane got arrested 3 days before the FA Cup final. Yeah. So,
and then got injured in that FA Cup final. There's a lesson for you.
It was a terrible tackle by Gary Speed, bless him. But I think Keane always says, you know, he shouldn't. You know, that was one of his regrets, because I think he did the same when he injured himself against Haaland. He'd gone out that midweek as well and got pissed, and I think that was one of the reasons he stopped drinking. So. Yeah, I'm sure that, I mean, that was 25 years ago. So things were a bit different, weren't they? But yeah, they were definitely out all that week.
Grealish needs to up his game then, doesn't he?
I think so, yeah.
No, but generally, were you surprised, Johnny?
No, I think if we'd have beaten if we'd have won it, I say, on the last day, sorry, against
Brentford. Might have been different. Yeah, well, it would have been
probably
different.
Wouldn't have gone out. But I think you just have to celebrate these things, don't you? Because if you win the league like that, in circumstances like that, where you've been written off so much for most of the season, come back from behind, and let's say, for example, you were to go and lose against United, lose against Inter Milan, you'd obviously have, it'd be such an anti-climax, you wouldn't really feel like you had anything to celebrate. Because for 2 weeks from winning the league until the FA Cup, just go out, do it.
I think that the magnifying of those key Etihad wins as well, what you said, like Arsenal, Bayern, and then obviously Real Madrid as well, and you can't celebrate it because there's another day, 3-4 days later. Yeah, I get it.
And plus, I mean, some of them players had played most. I mean, Haaland and Grealish probably played all of that run, didn't they?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, no, not all of them did. So, you know, someone like Grealish.
This is Jack, like, pulling on his dad's trousers, like, please, boss,
yeah,
gonna go out and party.
He's played every match as well. So, you know, if he knew he was going to get 2 games rest anyway, you know, it's probably not the end of the world, is it?
I think there's a bigger question about rhythm, really.
Yeah.
That is a worry, yeah.
If we'd have obviously gone right until the end of the season, let's say we'd have gone and beaten Brighton and beaten Brentford, you would be like, okay, great. The team's really sharp going into these next two games, but you never know. Players might have got injured. I think you're right, Gary. Grealish, Haaland, Rodri, the players who obviously played the most minutes, have barely seen the pitch in these last three games.
Yeah. It's essentially going to be their first game together since Real Madrid, isn't it?
This is not the worry, because I sort of trust Pep to get it right. And the last time we went into the Champions League final, the result before that was beating Everton 5-0 at home. So obviously rhythm sort of
what went out
that day against Chelsea. So yeah, but I mean, I can imagine it. If we do end up losing to United, I can imagine maybe people will make a meal out of it. If we beat them, they probably won't.
No one will talk about it.
No one will talk about it. I think Pep's obviously looked at it and thought, okay, the lads who obviously really need a rest. He's obviously just gone with that over the rhythm. I was surprised by it. I did think that he would maybe rest them against Chelsea and Brighton and then put a full team out against Brentford.
That's what I thought.
Right, James, and that we almost got a dress rehearsal. So
I'm surprised that I say that. I thought he would still pick the strongest team against Chelsea, because my assumption would have been that he would have prepared with a strong team. But he's obviously just, okay, fine, it's done. We'll just pick whatever we want tomorrow. And my assumption was he's got to go strong in at least one of these two remaining games, but didn't.
Yeah, I was surprised by it. I can understand why he did it against Chelsea. You can obviously understand, like, such an intense game against Real Madrid. I know, obviously, we're not as clued up as physios are, but you can probably imagine a lot of players are in the red zone. And then as soon as you find out you've won the league, you don't need to win. It's like, right, they're all having a rest against Chelsea. And then you're right, what do you do for the rest of the week? He went semi-strong against Brighton, weak against Brentford. I thought it would have been the other way around. But yeah, it's certainly been interesting. It did surprise me.
Gary, is it an obvious question to ask you what worries you most about them?
They're a superb team, aren't they? So all of it. It's just, I think the worries is what can we do? Can we impose ourselves? And my biggest worry is if we go 1-0 down early, can we avoid the roof caving in? Because as well as we've done this season, you know, we've still got that in us where one can become three very quickly. So
one such occasion you came back was obviously the last time you two played each other.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, but I mean, I didn't think City were that great that day either. And
I agree with that.
A couple of counter attacking goals and a dubious Fernandez goal, shall we say? So The other game this season, I mean, it was 6-3, but I mean, such a deceptive scoreline. Because I think it was 6. Was it 6-1 after about 60 minutes or something? So, yeah. Yeah. Any of that team could destroy us. But look, if City play well, they win, don't they? There's no getting around it.
Is there any temptation to play Shaw at centre-back?
I would, yeah.
Really?
I'd be really worried about what Haaland could do to Lindelof. Lindelof's had a superb end to the season, but we've had quite a soft fixture run, I think it's fair to say. I think Shaw and Varane against Haaland would just gives us that bit more presence and bit
that
more.
That was the pairing in January, and it did really well against him.
Yeah, and I think, I think Malacia and Shaw's obviously not great at left back, but Malacia's decent and he played Dalot maybe. But I would be tempted. I don't think he will. I think it'll Lindelof and Varane and get Shaw at left back. But yeah, that would be a worry if Haaland plays against Lindelof. But I mean, Haaland's not looked great this last month, has he? I know. Here we come. Comparing him with human beings now. Two hat tricks coming. But he's by his high standards, the Real Madrid game, he missed a couple of chances, didn't he? And what was it the Brighton game? If Haaland's on it, we aren't going to win anyway, are we? So, I would be really tempted.
He finished at the top level, Johnny, Erling Haaland, is it? One season wonder.
Oh, not saying that. I'm just saying, you know, what's he on? 1 in 6 or something? And, you know, so if that goes to 1 in 8, then who knows? But it won't, will it?
No.
He'll probably, this time in 2 weeks, he'll have broken Dixie D's record, won't he? 11 in 2 or something in the finals.
Is he finished, Johnny?
Nah, he has had a bad few games. Gary is right. He has massively underperformed his XG. What is it? Like, he scored 1 goal from 5 XG or something like that. So, yeah, he hasn't had his best few games in front of goal. But I think, yeah, maybe hopefully the variance will go the other way in the next two.
Will he start Saturday, Johnny?
Yeah, definitely.
Who do you think was starting the right?
For City?
Yeah.
I think
Bernardo, right wing, I should clarify. Sorry,
I think Bernardo will start against Inter Milan, but I have a sneaky feeling he might go Foden against United.
Okay, what's the thinking behind that?
No, I think Bernardo is his first choice, obviously, in these big games on the right wing. We've learnt that now, playing him against Bayern Munich, Real Madrid, Arsenal, teams like that. So I think, yeah, you maybe could argue that he will just go Bernardo against United and Inter Milan, but I don't know. Like I say, he's got a sneaky feeling. Maybe it's for sort of like derby day bias, but you just want Foden in there. But yeah, they're just a little sneaky feeling.
Okay, KDB plays. I take it.
Yeah, I think it. I can tell you the team if
yeah,
you
tell
want.
Us. Yeah, I mean, yeah, we'd love you to do that every week during the season, primarily, Johnny.
Well,
just
I've always told
season's
you,
finished
man.
Now. It's not,
I'm not the man for that. Luke's your man for that, not me. I think there's two positions up for debate, or not two positions, but two spots. I think nailed on is Ederson, Stones, Diaz, Rodri, De Bruyne, Gundogan. Grealish left, hand up front. And then I think, well, the three spots is, like you said, a right winger spot. And then it's which combination he does. Is it Walker right, Akanji left, Walker right, Ake left? Well, no, I think I'm pretty sure Walker will play, actually. So it's just whether it's Akanji or Ake left back.
And so that means Stone stepping out from centre back. Sorry, just jumping.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go on, Gary.
I was going to say, you would assume Walker at right back's a certain, is it? Because either. You assume it, hopefully Rashford or Garnacho or someone is going to play wide left for us. So, you know, if he plays Walker in that role, then could lock that down, couldn't it? Whereas if he plays Stones in that false right back position, it might play into Rashford's hands if he plays wide left. So, yeah.
Yeah, he loves Akanji. So he might do Akanji right back and Ake left back.
Because, I mean, Walker didn't get arrested. Hadn't Walker played all of these? Certainly played the Chelsea and the Brighton game, didn't he? Did he play against Brentford? But he's played a lot of games recently, hasn't he, Walker?
Maybe it's because he needed to stop him from...
Yeah, out. Well, yeah, he loves
I'm not going to say out, it. We needed to stop him going out, didn't we?
Yeah.
Gary, you mentioned Garnacho. Is that realistic that you might start the final? Because did Martial pull his hamstring during the game, or was it when Ten Hag was giving his speech after the game he started feeling his hamstring? Which was it?
I don't know, but I mean, either way, he looks like he's out. But I mean, to be fair to him, he has played at least in the last 3 matches, so he was due a break, to be fair to the lad. So does that mean Rashford goes up top? I mean, he's had a great season, Rashford. I don't think he's that good up front. I'm still not convinced. But if
could he play Fernandes up front? Do you think? Is that possible?
Well, it is, but I mean, the other thing, if it looks like Anthony's still struggling, so it might be that Fernandes plays wide right and we get 3 in midfield. So yeah, I think we've got a lot of thinking to do in those forward roles. If Martial and Anthony are definitely out, which it looks like they are.
Yeah, I think they're both extremely unlikely. I mean, Martial's definite and Anthony prognosis is not given yet, but I think might be struggling for the start of next season by the sounds of things.
Well, no, Ten Hag said he thought he might be back for the cup final before before the Fulham game. But I don't know if he meant as a starter or as a, you know, as a squad option. But yeah, I think you do well to start him because it looked a nasty injury he got against Chelsea. You know, so if there's no Anthony, there's no Martial, then And if you don't play Rashford up front, then we're stuck with Weghorst, aren't we? So
does Fred start? He's another name that started that game in January.
Yeah, so I think it depends, doesn't it? I think if we have to move Fernandes, you know, to a false nine or to a wide right role, yeah, then obviously then that would free a spot up for Fred in the team. I'm not a massive fan of it. Can see the thinking, try and be a bit more solid in midfield, but we aren't going to get the ball in midfield anyway. We're going to be feeding off scraps anyway. And if we're feeding off scraps, there's no point in Fred having the ball because he can't do anything with it. So it's, you know, and it.
Do you not see that assist on Sunday, Gary?
I know, but as a rule, he isn't going to keep the ball, and he's not, you know, so.
Oh, but do a lot of off the ball running, like in that channel, that. Maybe it's with that, KDB, for example.
It's that risk, isn't it? Of, you know, that risk reward. And if we want to be solid, then Fred will come in and let Fernandes go up front, you know, a bit further forward. But my worry is if you get Fred in to do all that kind of stuff. But when we do have the ball, we need to use it properly, don't we, and efficiently. And you can't do that with Fred in the team.
I think my instinct would be that Fred would play with Casemiro. He'd push Eriksen on.
I think he will.
I think the front three, in one kind of various order or another, will be Sancho will play with Fernandes and Rashford.
Yeah, I think would be my. Yeah, take. I think it'd be Sancho wide left, Rashford up top, and then Fernandes in that wide right role. And I think if that happens, I think it is finito, Benito. We ain't got a hope, you know.
Wow.
Yeah.
Go on, then. Give us a correct score prediction, Gary.
Oh, God. I just can't see us winning. But I don't want to say it out loud. I'll say 3-1 City. Same as Guardiola at Wembley against us last time.
Johnny?
I can see him winning. Fuck me, I haven't stopped thinking about it all week.
That and the referee.
The life of a football fan.
It's just impossible to like predict scores in games like this. I just, like I said, I just don't even want to think about like losing either game. I think like Gaz says, we are strong favourites for it, but I just think anything can happen in a derby on a cup final. But if you had to press me, I'd go 2-1 City.
What about the Inter Milan prediction?
Can we think about that next week?
Well, before we finish, I have one point to make. Because I've been looking at Italian football a little bit this week. Primarily, I was looking at Fiorentina. I'm going to have a look at Inter Milan as well. Something certainly striking about Serie A at the moment is there are a lot of teams playing a back three. When I say to you back three in the Champions League, what does it make you think of, Johnny?
What, when Pep's fucked about and played a back three? What do you mean against Chelsea?
But I was thinking more of the Lyon game.
Yeah, I was thinking the Lyon game as well. Fuck me.
When he changed to match them for why? Still nobody
knows.
Yeah,
I know. It has entered my head about because Inter Milan play a back three, whether he will try something again.
But surely he won't. Surely someone will just sit him down and say, look, Pep, we've been through this. We've got the best 11 in the world.
I think you'll overthink it. I really do.
Surely not.
Me and my mate have a theory that Pep is missing one crucial member of backroom staff, and it's just a City fan. So tell him to stop doing stupid shit. Just when he's announcing the team, just a fan to go, Pep, no, you're doing it again. Don't do it.
Yeah.
We'd have won the Champions League by now.
I mean, to be fair, we were very critical. I think back of actually the Chelsea League game when Rodri was stepping in and out of centre-back when you won 1-0 and he just didn't look right at all. But eventually he's managed to get this looking into like a machine-like. But that's the point, isn't it? You've now got a way of playing that's destroyed everybody. Why are you going to worry about what... I know you have to worry about what they're doing, but don't change your whole system and start going, well, yeah, we're gonna play wing backs as well, and we're not gonna go inverted and this sort of thing.
I really hope he won't.
He won't.
I thought that against Chelsea, that run in 2021, where he played the exact same 11 in the same system every game in the lead up to the final in the knockout stages. And I thought, right, he's finally cracked it. He's going to play the exact same lineup against Chelsea. And then all of a sudden, we're playing without a defensive midfielder.
You're saying Rodri, was it?
Yeah, so as much as I would like to think he's not going to do it,
he won't.
Okay.
When we spoke to Gary Mantle, we spoke to a couple of weeks ago, Chelsea correspondent, he said, basically, you pick two old in midfield players and they beat you. You pick one old in midfield player and they beat you. So he thought, well, sod it, I won't play any. See how that goes instead. They will almost definitely interplay 3-5-2, mate. Almost, oh, yeah, definitely.
Definitely know how they're going to play. And you could argue that, obviously, the build-up that we've been playing recently is with three at the back. Pep might just say, okay, that's arguably matching them up anyway.
You say you're almost 3-5-2 anyway, aren't you, really?
Yeah. Which,
so, he won't fuck around with that 11 this time. He won't. He'll play that team that's been playing
Gary, I can't think of any teams I know that play shit back threes and City have struggled against over the last couple of years. Can't think of any, honestly.
Mm.
Every time.
My team. He might overthink it, but he shouldn't. Won't. He shouldn't, Johnny. But that's my most anticipated team lineup of the year is City Champions League final. Like, what?
Yeah.
Lewis is starting, but what's he doing? Yeah, Haaland's on the bench. He's benched Haaland and KDB, and he's going to go Gundogan false nine in a 3-6-1. Yeah. To be honest with you, Johnny, jokes aside, it feels, and this is probably, I think, part of the problem, it feels unthinkable that you won't win that Champions League final at the moment.
Yeah, I think that could be a record. That'd be threes and fours, that.
I disagree with that, Gary, to be honest, having watched a bit of Inter now and stuff. But I can't see them beating you.
Nah, no chance.
Can't see it.
I hope you're right. I've got my flights booked. I've bought my ticket. I hope you're right.
Good luck. I suspect the harder might be this one. I think you're going to go to penalties Saturday, Johnny, and go through the ringer properly, mate.
We're pathetic at penalties as well, so I hope not.
Not against David De Gea, you're not. Don't worry.
Oh, yeah. That is what unstoppable force against
the Champions League final will be kicking off. You'll still be going on at Wembley, mate, quite possibly. good luck to both of you. Really good banter, guys, despite the rivalry. Thank you both so much. Johnny, where can everyone follow you on the Bird app?
At FPL Pringle. Or at MCFC Pringle for my personal one, which I tweeted a bit of City.
Look at this. He's giving out the personal ones now.
Well, very you might nice. See some more City content on there.
You could give Gary one of your two Twitter accounts because he hasn't got any now. You can follow Gary on our Slack, can't you, Gary?
Yeah, but probably not next Saturday. I'll probably have to give it a rest there because otherwise I might get myself in trouble.
Yeah, and I take it you've obviously bottled Game Week 39, Johnny, because this is your excuse, right?
Yes. I do feel a bit guilty about it, to be honest, but I did tell Benny that one mitigating circumstance would be United in the FA Cup final. Shout out to the North boys. Go and do us proud.
Yeah.
Oh, look at I agree. They agree on something. Up the South, if you can donate to the Game Week 39 Fund, listen to yesterday's pod with Benny and David Mundy. Just leaves me to say thank you so much to Johnny and Gary. Good luck this weekend. Johnny, good luck for that Champions League final as well. Cue music, please, man child.
Sports Social Podcast Network.